March 20, 2021. It's the Wap for Pedro show. Wofford Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Happy first day of spring 2021. Equinox, too, I think, has got a great name. We started the show on John Coltrane. Then I'll be tired of you. Ain't going to be tired of spring. And Francisco Franco after that. Or maybe I should say Franco because it sounds too much like that cat in Spain. Such a great system. Why was it so poor? You know, somebody once asked Salvador Dali that. And he said some answer about, well, you know, if you take a sparrow and poke out its eyes, it'll sing better. Ah! Okay. Provocative, man. You can hear my guest. You can tell. Well, you know, Brother Matt, he's still at the Love Grotto and the Pleasure Point a couple miles south because we're still in quarantine mode. But I'm not man alone because those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, I got Robert Francisco with me. Welcome aboard, Robert.
Hey, how's it going?
Well,
yeah,
how's it going? We're going to celebrate your music and share with the listeners your journey. So please bring your earliest musical recollection.
First musical recollection.
Or whatever you want to call it, you know. Remember, it's a Wofford Pedro show, so there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Yeah. No, I got it for you. I grew up with my grandparents in Western Massachusetts, and
Jay Maskus.
I played a show with him not too long ago, maybe 10 years ago. But I'm from Western Mass. My grandmother was Polish, and every weekend we would go to, you know, Polish music halls or, you know, pavilions around the area, and, you know, check out polka music. So
some accordion, right?
Yeah, accordion. All of it, you know, just Oompa Loompa. Oompa Loompa music. And then, I mean, really, growing up, that was the only music I was exposed to at home at a young age, you know, till you know, MTV and pop music and heavy metal hit.
What about in the pad? There was no musical instruments?
In our house, there was... Yeah. Actually, there was a lot of musical instruments, but no one played them. There was... It's not like people were ignoring them or anything like that. It was, you know, all the polka that happened in my house was before I was born.
Okay.
It was like my grandmother's brothers and their people, they had like, you know, like a folk polka band that would just play at the house for hangouts and gatherings. That was all before my time. So I saw... You know, there was a stand-up bass, a piano, a violin, accordions, all that was in the house. But I never saw anyone play them. There were skeletons. They're the skeletons of Polka's Past.
And you yourself never wanted to jump on any of these?
I did, but they didn't really work, you know. The stand-up bass had, like, one string on it. And I actually did use that on early Maximum Mac recordings. You can hear, you know, I'm talking like 99, 2000 before I moved to Philly. And you can hear, you know, it is in there. It's on there a little bit. Not very well, of course. But,
can I ask you about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, nothing. No.
Okay.
I kind of tried to gabble in trumpet, but that was like for probably about a week.
Okay.
Didn't really stick with it.
And what about the first record you bought with your own money?
I wouldn't say buy with my own money because I don't really remember what that would be. But the first tape that I got my hands on my own was Twisted Sister, Stay Hungry.
Okay. I ask that because when you're a kid, you don't have a lot of money, so. You know.
Yeah. The first tape I got my hands on that I fell in love with was, you know, Stay Hungry.
Okay.
And that was dubbed from an older, you know, friend's older brother.
D. Snyder, right? What about the first gig you went and saw?
First gig I went and saw was live polka music.
That's right.
I saw a lot of them. You know?
I could share a little of that because here in Pedro there's big Croatia community and also Italian immigrants. And like they like, you know, especially at the weddings and shit, they break out there's colas too, there's different basically it's how the boys and girls dance.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that was my you know, one of my early music experiences, memories was you know, my grandmother teaching me to polka in our kitchen.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's strong. The guy who runs Reverend Guitars, because we came together to make a bass called the Watt Plower, he plays in a band that does all Pink Floyd covers polka style. It's called Polka Floyd or some shit. And they play these huge ass festivals along with the traditional bands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Well, you know, also, I'm surprised because Southern California and, you know, Northern Mexico, I think there's a big, you know, like a lot of Mexican music is, there's like a polka crossover.
Absolutely. It comes from the German-Austrian kind of thing. Yeah, that's where they learned beer, too. But that oompa, right, that 2-4 thing.
Yeah, it's really funny. You know, like I was scanning the radio the other day, and I like came across like a Mexican radio show, and I for a second I was like, oh my god, I think I'm listening to polka right now, and so I kept listening. I had to wait till I started singing to know which it was.
Yeah, a lot of cross, but you know that's what music's for, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's for like hooking humans up together, maybe not in such an asshole way.
And essentially both musics are, you know, for fun, you know, to dance, to have a good time, and you know, the personality and the everything else is taken out of it a little bit, and it's just, you know, okay, someone's going to play this, and everyone else is going to have fun.
Yeah, so a little bit of mating ritual.
Yeah,
A little bit. Here, I want to play here Private Eyes.
But a mess has been made, and nothing has been done about all of this stuff gathering dust. It's that time once again, it comes back now and then to do what you don't want, but you must. So you start looking round, seeing what's to be found, to be checked out for, it's tucked in the bin. A last look at the past, for it's turned into trash, spring cleaning and winter again. Kept there in the closet, stuffed in that shoebox, underneath the plate you didn't want it on. Hidden under the bed frame, stuck up on the shelf, left in the fridge for far too long. A letter, a picture, a used bathroom fixture, a t-shirt you refuse to lose. A 51-card deck, all that crap that you kept but knew all along you'd never use. Thumbtacks, two ripped nylon stockings, and a drawer full of spent ballpoint pens. All that shit in the back room, you really meant to get to, but you just couldn't figure out when. Though try as you may, it will not go away. By itself, it won't just disappear. And no steadfast resolve can make all this dissolve into nothing. It's plain. It's clear. So pick up the pieces, put them in that plastic bag, use a twist tie, tie it up tight. Take it outside, put it down on the sidewalk, they'll take it away overnight. And you're done for now, though you just don't know how you got through it all in the end. But it's a matter of time. Soon you will find your spring cleaning in winter again. It's a matter of time, and soon you will find your spring cleaning in winter again.
Watford yeah. Pedro show. Yeah.
We had Private Eyes.
Private Eyes from Francisco Davis.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to that. I'm going to ask you. Tobacco from the other side of the state, Pittsburgh. He's got a brand new album, Mr. Tom. This Rat Bite. Andy Kerr from Holland. He used to be sound man for No Means No. And he said, this is Man Alone. Spring Cleaning and Winter. Andy, you don't have to worry. Winter's over. Just get to the spring cleaning. And then Hands Rotten Out of Switzerland. No. Time Machine 2, War in the Next Century from Bombas Prendon. Then Droner from Hands Rotten in Switzerland. Bombas Prendon, D.C. area. Tommy Dayhill out of Alaska with Dryal. Yeah, that's Gaelic. I fucked up another language. Excuse me. And finally, Dexter Industries, The Unutterable. So some prodges here. If you noticed, all three of them had different names. But I want to know how you got into this. You know, you tried a little bit of trumpet. You like Twisted Sister. You don't take any music classes in school. What about, and you don't play the stuff at home because it ain't working. How do you get into music as a composer, player?
Interesting. I mean, I started, you know, when as a teenager, I got into punk bands and, you know, I bought a bass for $15.
Ah, you're a bass player. Great.
Yeah. I play guitar and bass, but you know, I started with bass. You know, I really started with bass because the kids, the punk bands I was playing with, and there's a drummer, a guitarist, a singer, but no one wanted to play bass. So
that's like the old bass.
Yeah, I was like, all right, you know, like, and I found one, a unibox for $15.
That's a good deal. Yeah. What about amp?
You know what? I don't even think it had a name. It was like, it came with the bass. It was like,
okay, that's good enough for 15 fucking bucks. Yeah. Now, did this band have a name?
Well, it did, yeah. That one was called Frank K4.
Now, did Frank K4 do any gigs?
Oh, yeah. Not a lot.
Is this your first gigs?
Yeah, my first gigs were like really small, like basement shows.
That's okay, still a gig.
Yeah, there was a little place in Western Mass called the Old Store, Flywheel, you know, the American.
Oh, yeah, I know Flywheel, falls. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that place was just starting around this time.
Northampton.
Yeah, Northampton, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't know specific, but Pearl Street and Iron Horse, all kinds of shit, yeah.
My first concerts, you know, in the mid-90s were all at Pearl Street.
Okay.
Going to, playing. I wasn't big enough to play there. That was the big time.
The only time I played upstairs was with Jay Maskus. I wasn't that big either. What came with the how was that first Frank 4? Was it Frank?
Frank K4.
Yeah, Frank K4. How was that first Frank K4 gig? Was it a success?
You know, there was like high school friends sitting around joking around, you know, waiting for us to finish.
Were you scared?
No. That one I was eager. You know, I have pictures from it and I have video from it. And what? I was ready to rock and roll.
And what about the material? Like, were you guys doing your own songs or were you copying off records?
We covered a couple punk songs and mostly it was we had a lot of originals. We had probably like four or five originals.
That's great, man. Because we never did. No, not till the punk movement. Yeah. I wrote one song as a teenager. It was called Mr. Bass King of Outer Space. And basically about doing a bass solo and blowing the rest of the band off the stage. I had some issues.
Yeah. We,
what do you do after this band?
I guess I played in a grindcore band after that. Like a grindcore band, you know, 20-second songs.
Yeah, who is the big one there? Anal Tunt?
Well, Anal Tunt was from our area.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And they were a grindcore with little songs like Everybody's Homosexual.
So we were basically a ripoff of that.
Oh, really? We lost that guy, right? His name was Seth or something?
Yeah, Seth Putnam. Yeah,
that's very sad.
It's kind of like a ripoff of that and a ripoff of Ass Suck, which is more from your area.
That's right.
It's kind of like those two put together, and
Now, these ain't your bands. These are bands you've joined, right?
Well, the grindcore band. Well, the first one was all the, you know, there was four punks in my high school, and we started a punk band. And
people don't realize how that used to be. It was fucked up. You were a total minority.
Yeah, it was weird. But, you know, for me, it was fun. You know, it was a pleasure to be that.
Yeah, talk about, like, building some backbone.
Yeah. That one was a collective, and then the grindcore band it was me and the drummer that were the songwriters, if you even want to call them songs. And, and then we got, like, a bass player to play or a sing, or I always sang, but then we switched around who did what otherwise, depending on who was available.
No one wanted to rock the bass.
Yeah.
Now, these projects that we played during the first hour here, Francisco Franco, Francisco Davis, Dexter Industries.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some insight there, please.
Francisco Franco was me. My name's Robert Francisco. The other guitarist was Matt Franco. And,
makes sense.
Yeah. Kind of, you know, in a nod to, like, you know, like jazz quartets and stuff.
Emerson, Lincoln, Palmer.
Or Sonny and Cher.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I feel like it's less harsh than most of my other music, but I think it's like the other side of the coin, where it has like the same spirit, I think, you know, the same simplicity and potency. But it's a more contemplative angle from it, you know?
But are you comfortable with the idea of genre ain't music?
Of what?
With genre, like this music is that, this kind, and this music is that kind.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, it's all music, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think everything I do is rock and roll.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, you get influenced, but that's the tradition we're following, totally.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so what's Francisco Davis?
Francisco Franco was me and Matt, and then we got our friend Nate Davis to play bass when we wanted to play. We played like four or five shows total. We wanted Nate to play. Nate played with us, bass with us live. And then eventually, you know, Matt had a few kids and got more serious in that angle of life. And me and Nate did some, you know, four track recordings as Francisco Davis.
Whoa.
So that's the only difference. It's the same, you know, it's the same trajectory.
Okay. And it's kind of right around the same period.
It's linear. It's Francisco Franco was like, you know, 09 to 13 or 14, and then Francisco Davis was since then, but and more sporadic.
Okay.
You know, since the other guy lives in Grenoble, France now, Nate.
Grenoble, I know that's by the French part of the Alps.
Yeah. It's I think his apartment looks over the Alps.
Yeah, it's a pretty incredible place.
I've only seen pictures.
And finally, Dexter Industry?
Yeah, that's just me.
Okay.
It's more...
Like this is where you were going, to a man alone type of thing, right?
After the grindcore band in that era, I started playing solo, which is MX Neumach, which has been solo the whole time, basically. I've played live with other people and had a phase of writing songs with a couple of people.
Max, 6 years ago. Max Neumach?
Mm-hmm. MX Neumach, yeah.
Okay, MX.
Get it right.
It's hard to, get right. MX Neumach. Okay, this is actually contemporary, right? This is your current baby.
Yeah, well, it's the longest running. I started it in 99, and it goes through today.
And it seems like the more traditional rock and roll things, like drums and bass, and you transitioned to electronics?
Yeah, but in my mind, it was, I wanted to be in a rock band. I didn't want to deal with it.
Sure.
I got the drum machine and samplers and stuff like that. And I never wanted it to be like an electronic thing or like thought of as an electronic thing.
Okay.
I just wanted it to be a rock and roll.
What was kind of your inspiration? Not Throbbing Gristle?
No, you know what? No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, later, but not so much. Early, it was just the same, the stuff that I loved, the heavy metal, punk music, black metal.
Oh, you were just trying to use different instruments to get the, that feeling, those emotions.
I loved, you know, I've loved rap music for a lot of my life, too.
Sure.
There's even, you know, that angle, you know.
Well, they're big influenced by Kraftwerk, right? Did you know about this Hollywood band from our scene in the 70s called Nervous Gender?
No, I don't.
Because they called it synth punk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And no guitar. Well, they had a guitar a little bit. Frank was in the band for a little bit. But part of our, like the Screamers, like no guitar. Uh-huh. It's hard people imagine, right? Because they think it's this one kind of playing fast and slamming, right? But there was actually anything you wanted to to be a band.
Yeah, yeah.
Just hitting on metal or keyboard or, drum machine.
Yeah.
The Screamers had a drummer who played alongside a drum machine.
yeah, that can be awesome.
They had a keyboard, a Fender Rhodes going through a fuzz tone. So, you know, without you knowing it, maybe you were on a parallel. I mean, you were years later. And these guys didn't really make records. Screamers thought records were over. So they only made a video. And then Nervous Gender really didn't get out that much. But it's just trippy about this. Did you know about bands like Robert Rennell and Thomas Lear, that stuff in England, you know, with the kind of the Throb and Gristle?
No, not so much.
SPK? You know, they were Australia. SPK. Okay, knew about them. Okay.
Nurse with Wound,
Right, White House.
I loved White House. Love and still love White House.
But your main inspiration was these guys that were making hard rock with bass and guitars.
Yeah, mostly. Okay. Or people, you know, rapping over a hard beat.
Right.
Yeah. Like I loved, you know, like for me, I loved like more like gangster rap, you know.
Well,
like
shit.
Two Live Crew, Ghetto Boys, like all that, you know, even LL Cool J.
Well, we're talking Philly. We're talking Philadelphia, right? What about fucking School ED, Parks?
Oh, yeah.
I got classic, to do a gig with him in 1988.
You know, it's awesome. You did?
I wouldn't shit you. It was at a place called Revival. It had several names downtown. And he took off his sunglasses, shook my hand, and he said, "My name's Jesse."
Yeah.
Cool people. He had Homeboy Mike. Homeboy James just holding their balls all the time, and Code Money was doing the beats, and it was very hardcore.
Well, I mean, if you listen to it and you listen to the drum machines, it sounds like they're using the same stuff, the same equipment Throbbing Gristle was, or you know, other acts like that. They were, you know, just doing. They just have a different voice, you know.
Yeah, I love that album, Saturday Night.
Yeah.
And the Parkside thing too. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. Yeah, PSK. I guess it's a neighborhood.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Right. We're at the end of the first hour, March 2021, Dishwa Pedro Show, special guest Robert Francisco, hold tight for hour two. March 2021, second hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
De boel ploegt voort. Niks vermoedend onverstoord. Soms proef je binnen smooth, maar hoor je niks van. Ja, dat is de goede soort. Hij doet wat hoort en dat weet hij donders goed. Net iets te vaak, doe maar normaal, dan doe je al gek genoeg gehoord. Opgevoed door gehoorzame burgers die een maaltje bij elkaar schrapen. Al last als atlas dragen. Voetzolen gehavend en blaren op elk lichaam stil dat externe oppervlaktes eventueel zou kunnen raken. Ook al is het overdreven. Fuck it! Zelfs in het weekend kun je niet ontsnappen naar een andere wereld. Rust, regelmaat, reinheid. De hele rattenvlauw rappen we erin. Braaf achter elkaar aan, marcheren de ratten van onze zin. Het is een kwestie van discipline. Staren naar de vitrine. Je weet, je blijft er met de tingels af omdat je het eerst moet verdienen. Blixtbesef zit je niks in de weg. Tenminste niet als je lekker binnen vet. Haal de prijzen maar uit het zicht weg omdat je toch niks te winnen hebt. Die naast mijn oor staat, gaat niet de type dat doorslaat. Iedere dag van voren afgaat. Gevolgen veroorzaak, weet niet welke precies voorgaat. Maar ik denk dat ik voortaan maar er gewoon mee doorga. Het is binnen het werken, bezinnen je begin. De boten dan van je heus die met een neus binnenin. Je rondjes draaien op een perpetuum, een fidget spinner. Is het je missie of shit die je verplicht ziet? Realiteit of wetenschappelijke fictie? Soepele frictie, gebrekkige intelligentie. Neurale interferentie, geprogrammeerd binnen de lijnen lopen omdat je het dividend ziet. Wat nou vierde dimensie? Ik zie slechts het platte vlak. Soms zie ik een opening in de lucht en denk ik bij mezelf. What the fuck? Lekker in als mijn oor staat gaan. In het type dat doorslaat. Iedere dag van voren af aan. Gevolgen veroorzaak. Weet niet welke precies voorgaat. Maar ik denk dat ik voortaan maar gewoon mee doorga.
Dr. Pedro Show, second hour. Started off COS Transparent, or maybe COS Transparent, from Veiled. And then Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Pembroke Hotel. SZ out of Chicago. This is SNES, this record she made during the situation. Machine Gun Roses, originally from the old Yugoslavia. Juan Van de Dag, Debor Ploes Vort, yeah, my Dutch, sorry, from Groningen. Good stuff, dope. I apologize for fucking up more languages. Dale Crover, drummer man with his solo record, Shark-like Overbite. Whoa. And then from a Flexi, Veiled, Suicide Herself. So what's this Veiled project?
Veiled is myself and Arnau Sala from Barcelona. Probably in about 2005, I started going to Barcelona once a year till 2014, 1 to 3 months, and mostly staying with my friend Arnau and a little bit my friend Adrian. But me and Arnau, you know, after like a few years of, you know, kind of living around each other there and hanging out a lot and playing shows in our separate projects, we decided to collaborate. And Veiled is the result.
Is it ongoing?
No. We haven't played in maybe like 6 years.
And you don't use the internet to trade files and shit?
No, you know, I mean, I know he's into that kind of thing, but contrary to what one might believe, I've never actually used a computer for music.
I can totally fucking believe it.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows. When the sound's coming out the speakers, it's almost like that Wizard of Oz movie. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. You don't know, right? Sure. It's just sounds. And I know people, it seems human beings like to get all fetish about gear.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, it ain't gear. It's actually sounds.
Right. Yeah. And that is essentially the most important part.
Yeah. And how they get there, I think that's the personal journey of the person expressing themselves.
Yeah, like the public only needs to see the tip of the iceberg.
That's it. You got it. You know, that's why cucumbers work in your pants, right?
Yeah.
Who's that guy? Derek Smalls. Harry Shearer, right? The bass man. Right? He's like fire. He's like ice. I'm like lukewarm water.
Yeah.
So, Is it a conscious thing, or you just started off with some drum machines and some noisemakers, right? Synthesizers or keyboard, Casios, or what?
Yeah, you know, I've mostly used drum machines, and I started with it. Drum machines, and really, they fell into my lap. It was like a friend was getting rid of one, didn't want it, and then, you know, so I took them on, and yeah, drum machines, synthesizers, samplers, a lot of the earlier stuff that I've made and I still use them to today are, you know, I've used like Doctor samples mostly, and most of the music that I've made is my voice sample, just like, you know, manipulating it in different ways or making weird sounds and putting it through pedals and then looping it or doing whatever to it, but it's mostly my voice sampled.
Like the beginning, right? Then you treat it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I treat it a little bit, yeah.
And then it stays in these boxes. You don't bring it into a pewter environment.
No, it stays in the doctor sample or,
you know. I'm curious, how do you end up recording?
I have, well, traditionally, and most of my recordings have been on cassette Tascam 4-track.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I still use it to today, even like the stuff that I just had a tape come out called American Evil.
Yeah.
And which I sent you a couple of the songs from it.
Sure.
That whole thing I recorded, you know, early this winter. I record on the Tascam 4-track, and you know, I have a music room at my house.
How far back does that machine go?
This one, I honestly go through them like every like probably like 5 or 6 years.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, it's not the same one. No. I'm on probably my sixth 4-track of the same exact model.
Okay, here we go with MAX Neumach. Did I say it right?
MX Neumach.
MX Neumach. MX Neumach. Okay. MX Neumach. Fucking what? Is it Neu like new? Because it's not spelled that
way.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's NOI. I just made it up.
This is a beautiful song, Walking at Night.
Avenue. I'm looking for nothing new. A nylon man with his
Watch for Pedro show. We heard MX Neumach doing Walking at Night. Sleep Party People with an Iris Pseudo-Chorus. Whatever the fuck that means. Death of Samantha from Cleveland with Conviction. Andrea Pensado from Salem, Massachusetts. DLA Scriabina. Maybe, she's from Argentina. So. And then MX Neumach with Second Glance. So, give us some insight on, like, the composition process. Like, for example, what about the titles? Do they come first or last?
Comes together at the same time. Yeah, I don't really, kind of do it, like, I do one as I'm doing, I make the song as I'm making the lyrics. So they both define the structure.
Well, what about, like, the title comes from the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for those two songs.
Rob, because, you know, I need the title first, and, like, nobody I know hardly does that shit. They always put it on last, just like the bass guitar. You put it on last.
Yeah.
Well, what about, okay, since you're using drum machines, do you fire them up first? Do you get grooves going? I'm curious about your process.
Yeah, that's interesting. No, mostly, I work kind of a lot, or not now, but, you know, pre-COVID. And a lot of it, like, the rhythm pops into my head while I'm working, while I'm, like, doing stuff. I'm just, like, have, like, a 1 second of freedom, and the raw beat, or, like, the main bass, or whatever that is the main thing in the song, just, you know, it literally just pops into my head. You know, it's like a natural pulse.
Do you use, like, a voice memo on a leash or something to remember it?
Sometimes, yeah. Well, most, I also kind of think, like, a good idea will stay with you.
If
you're trying too hard to remember it, then it's not worth remembering.
Right. So that's a good
if
point.
I get home and I still have it and it's still there, then I know it's a good idea. If it's gone, then that's, you know, nature telling me that it's a freaking bad idea.
Right. Yeah, it's good. It makes good sense. And you don't really make demos, right? This initial idea becomes like the backbone of the tune.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And, you know, and it's funny, like, I usually record everything before I figure out how to perform it live, like, each individual song.
Oh, yeah, because you got all that stuff going on, it's layered up, right?
Yeah, and then I figure after it's recorded, I'm like, okay, well, I want to play this song live, and I structure it a little bit better for live performance and more of, like, a verse-chorus kind of structure.
And what about the idea of, maybe you've been a gig and you see the guy who opens up the crap top and just hits a space bar.
Yeah.
Not much of a performance.
I think that's like a different way of thinking about music and going about music where, you know, I like I've said like twice so far in this interview, and I say probably 20 times to myself during the days, you know, I make rock and roll.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, you know, for me, the big part of it is getting out and, you know, performing, having a good time, you know, letting go of, like, the stuff that you know.
Right.
Or, you know, letting go from the stuff that sucks throughout the day.
This interesting interview with John Coltrane in Japan, his last tour, the reporter, man, asked him, what's your idea of your definition of classical music? He goes, I could be wrong, but maybe that's the kind of music you listen to sitting down.
Yeah. I agree with that because I've seen, like, I really love, I got to see Arvo Pärt both times at the Estonian choir sang in New York City, I think 2017 and 2018.
Yeah.
And that's music is meant for the venue that it was performed in, which was a church.
Right.
You know, you're meant to be sitting down with your eyes closed, like, having the room be part of it, and you know, it's you're supposed to sit and absorb it. Where like going to a basement show or a bar or whatever, and you want to rock and roll, you want to rock and roll. You know, you want to act a little wild, be friendly, sociable.
But a lot of early rock and rollers did learn how to sing in church, though.
Yeah, of course.
Little Richard and that stuff. So it's a trip. I'm really interested. But I could tell you're a fan of music. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. March 20, 2021. Pedro Show special guest, Robert Francisco. Hold tight for hour three. March 20, 2021, third hour, Watt Pedro Show. Wofford Pedro Show started off the third hour surrounded by MX Neumach. And then we had David Gerard and Cousin Silas. I think they're from the eastern part of Massachusetts. Well, David Gerard is, I know, with Palisades. And then finally MX Neumach with Indulgence. So you were telling me about this latest stuff you put out. It was actually during the situation.
Yeah, this COVID-19. The whole thing.
So you would say a lot of the tunes are, well, did any of the music come before the situation, or are they informed by the situation?
Informed by the situation, yeah. 100%, yeah. Right. Definitely as a result of the times.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes I think that's the way the arts are. They're kind of like reeds, right? And they resonate with the breeze that's blowing.
Yeah, totally.
Unless you're in a cave.
Yeah, unless you're at a cave staring at like the shadow on a wall from a fire.
Right. Now, when we were off air, you were saying some great things about music and rock and roll and stuff. And, you know, I brought up the thing, hey, at the early days of the movement, it was kind of anti-rock, but it really wasn't anti-rock and roll. It was more anti-arena rock. Mm-hmm. And the stuff of bringing things into the clubs. Which you were lucky. You were young enough where you didn't have to really go through a period of arena rock shit. That only happened in the 70s. Because, you know, I helped out the Stooges for 125 months. And they told me in the 60s, there was all kinds of club stuff and little labels. It's only that one weird period in the 70s where you know, whatever. But I think that's what, it's like a farmer would tell you, you want a good crop, use a lot of manure, you know. So,
yeah.
So when you started on this record, was it like, this is going to be an album, or here comes the first song? Or do you do batches?
You know, it actually came, the whole thing came kind of linearly. And I came up with the imagery and the main song, American Evil. I came up with the imagery and that song title and that song was the first thing. And I was like, okay, I just saw it immediately. The image of the whole thing popped into my head, and I was like, all right, I have a full concept thing here, and it's going to go. And then it just came. I was like, okay, this song makes the most sense, and then I made the second song, third song, fourth song, et cetera.
Also, the album is like one big song with different parts.
Kind of, I would say, yeah. It's one full unit.
Yeah. I've done three of those. I fucking call them operas. I don't give a goddamn.
Yeah, this is the American Evil Opera.
Yeah. Because sometimes, right, maybe the song format ain't big enough to really get your concept, and you have to use different parts.
Yeah, and there's different angles to the same thing.
Right, dimension, perspective, right.
Yeah. Like, it's not just anger, you know? There's all different things in there.
But you came up with the skeleton, and then you had to flesh it out with these different, okay, it was one after, yeah, here comes the eyeballs, here comes the fingers.
And this one was the most natural. It was super natural. It was not supernatural. It was extremely natural.
So you know what? This makes a lot of sense to me now, like material obsession, indulgence. Yeah. Wow. So get a little insight from the fucking composer. Here, let's play Material Obsession.
We'll be right back. to greet the early morning sun. Closing it behind me, went away to our run. To the meadow where the meadowlark is singing in the tree. In the meadow I go walking in the early morning. Hands to catch a multicolored butterfly, perched upon the petals, flowers growing wild. Freeing it, I watch it as it flies away from me, to visit with the flowers in the early morning. Some morning dew still linger on the hour.
I wonder. Yeah.
No. 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 No.
Watt for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. MX Neumach. See, I got it now, man. Just rolls right off the fucking thing. Watt, slow learner, but he'll get it. Material Obsession. And Kishi Bashi, brand new. Early Morning Breeze. Yeah, a couple songs about early morning. Early Morning Breeze, Kishi Bashi. And then Early in the Morning from Yoko Ono with Tim Gordon and Thurston Moore. And finally, MX Neumach with Tender Sin. So, how long did it all come quick? Well, you said it was linear. So it was one piece, one part after another.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, thematically, you had that established. When you the thing you say that makes a song for you grabs hold of you, and then you start building around it. You still had this big concept in the back too, right? Kind of like the guy holding the kite string.
Yeah.
Okay. Were you ever afraid of repeating yourself?
No, not at all.
Yeah, that's great.
Why? You know, like things come back for a reason. You know, themes come back for a reason. Musical or you know.
Absolutely.
You know, the lyrics.
And things can get a little. I think things can get a little, you know, a little shtick. Like here's the reggae song, here's the ska song, here's the.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It can get too stylized. So if you do find a voice, why not fucking chase that down and see all the consequence?
Yeah, and it's interesting that you brought up, you know, like here's a ska song, here's a reggae song, etc. Because I consider myself also kind of like experimental, but not like I'm not like going around like rubbing like sticks together and tapping on a window. Like, you know, like to me, experimental can also be like just trying, you know, it's simpler than that. You know, it could be, oh, here's combining genres or themes or, you know, like the experiment is just the experiment of putting, you know, elements together.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's learning by doing.
Yeah, and putting okay, maybe I'm making noise music, but what if I put like a 50s swing vibe to it or something?
Yeah, right,
you know, like something more like that. To me, that's like that inspires me more than like feeling free or dealing with you know freedom in music.
right.
You know?
This idea of juxtapose, contrast.
Yeah, playing with concepts, but playing with like, you know, yeah, playing with genre or
right,
you know.
Or the stupid bullshit of genre. And,
yeah.
Because exactly. maybe we're moving towards what Mike Baghetti calls post-genre.
Yeah, we should, you know. I mean, okay. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but that also leads to something like pure individualism, where each person has their own voice in their own song, which, you know, could be a good thing.
Yeah, well, you know, look at your thumbprint.
Yeah.
That's pretty individual. It's, you know, we're born kind of individual, but then we have a lot in common at the same time. Maybe it's a duality. Maybe both things exist at the same time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in the rawest sense, and if everyone got to their, you know, to their essence, there would be a lot of things that were really similar and a lot of things that are really different. And the thing that I think, you know, for a lot of my music that where I say, you know, like I come up with the beat in my head while I'm just like working or doing something. And then I come home, it sticks, it doesn't. Like I feel like the pulse that I try to like maintain or like capture is probably a universal pulse. You know, it's like everybody has that beat in their head or something. And then I'm just materializing it.
Or realizing it, you know?
Yeah.
Now George Hurley, Minuteman drummer, he wrote all his words while he was at work. And he said he liked it because it was kind of he was working a mill, lathe, horizontal lathe, and kind of semi-conscious. So the connections were kind of blurry.
Yeah.
He liked it. And like all those songs like The Anchor and stuff like that, Search, he wrote in that kind of state. You know, usually crack of dawn, he told me, and he said, you get to title them. I said, okay, thank you, Georgie.
That's a good free way of going about it, and especially being like, you know, I don't want to title it. You title it, you know, see where you take it. But you know
I would use it for because I was afraid to repeat myself after about six or seven. Remember their little songs, so you had to write a buttload, right? So it was like, man, what? It's like track housing or like Navy housing where I grew up. You know, the garage is on this side. Okay. So by using other dudes' words, that helped me break out of the same old of Watts' little gulag.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, we're talking 40 years ago, but still, it's still. Where can people find you, Robert, on the internet?
Silvoxrecordings.bandcamp.com is the best and easiest place.
That's your label, right?
Yeah, it's just basically mostly my own music, but I do.
I love this idea. Put out your own music, record yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to encourage more and more music people to do this, because that's one good thing about the newer technology. It is more econo.
Yeah.
Easier on the operate. Okay, big fucking honor. When you get another album together, will you come back on the show and we can rap about it?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay.
So much fun.
You got it. Yeah. People, it's been a March 2021 Dishwap Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.